Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Please remain standing for the word of the Lord. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. If you can't find Ezekiel, oh God, find Daniel. If you can't find Daniel, look in the table of contents and find out where Ezekiel is in the scriptures. Ezekiel, the Old Testament prophet, chapter 37. Hallelujah. When you find it, just shout amen. If you need more time, just say hold up. All right, hurry up, hurry up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Ezekiel 37. For the sake of time, I will not be able to read it in its entirety, but I promise to put the aspect in context of what I'm preaching about. The word of God declares in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, these words. I want to begin at verse 11 for the sake of time. The Bible says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out from your grave. Here's the rub. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intent. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of our hearts. Father, we are asking you today for you to speak such a word to us that it changes not some things, but everything. Father, let this word cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Let it transform us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive the word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Lord, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. And we will give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Before you sit down, come on, turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Yes, smile. That's right. I'm telling you to smile in the house of God because y'all don't smile. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth will be involved because this is Baltimore. Come on, somebody. And say, you are about to get ground control. You're about to get... Oh, come on. Turn to the other side of you and say, you are about to get ground control. Ground control. Ground control. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach this message to you from the subject ground control. When breaking new ground, you have to understand you cannot break new ground until you learn first and foremost how to stand your ground. The Bible says that we are to be steadfast. Steadfastness, if you will, is related to, by definition of scripture, the ability to stand in the middle or in the process of being opposed. You have to have some steadfastness. The word of God says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that the work you are doing is not in vain. Look at your neighbor and say, your work has not been in vain. Come on here. All the things you have been seeking from the Lord, all the things you've been trying to accomplish, all the stuff you've been trying to walk away from, all the decisions you've been trying to make to seek the Lord and understand His goodness and walk into an entire different dimension in your life has not been in vain. Every effort that you have undertaken this year has not been for nothing. Every endeavor that you have taken up, everything that you've put your hands to, have not been for nothing. Just go ahead one more time and indulge the pastor and say, it's not been in vain. It's not been in vain. I want to speak in a couple of veins this morning, if you would indulge me. And so the two veins that I want to speak in is first the prophetic. And I need you to understand this very carefully, because when I say prophetic, I'm not talking about your car, your house, your boat, your clothes, your season, your time. I'm talking about the ability to problem solve. If you really want to understand the real prophetic unctions of God, it doesn't really deal with personal items as much as materialistic things, as much as it deals with problem solving. The ability of the prophetic is to be able to peel back the real issues and get to the root of the problem so that you can experience wholeness. Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to be made whole today. I wish I had somebody in here. And so you have to understand that when God brings this sort of prophetic insight into you, it comes to you not for you to be hyped, not for you to feel like you went to church, not for you, my God, to say we had a good time, but for you to leave that atmosphere knowing that the root cause of the problem of the thing that keeps you consistently from going to the next dimension in life and fulfilling your ultimate purpose and seeing the manifestation of the promise of God tangibly in your life is about to be dealt with. Just touch your neighbor and say, some real issues in your life, oh my God, I feel it already, is about to be dealt with. You have to understand, if I could preach it scientifically just for a moment, that we wear our biology. We wear it inside of our biography. In other words, everything that has happened to you, my God, has literally been imprinted on your life. They say the old adage is, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But conversely, you have to understand that might not be necessarily so. Because in some people's life, they grow up their entire life from childhood of experiencing trauma and difficulties and issues, and they never deal with it. And as they become adults, it manifests itself in sleep disorders and eating disorders. I'm preaching better than y'all, shouting, health disorders in all manners of ways. You do have to understand that, yes, your biology is your biography, but you can't allow the enemy to make it as a tool to beat you up and to use you, because God is the author and finisher of your faith, and He can take everything that has happened to you and give you a whole different version of the same story. Oh God, I feel like preaching to somebody. Slap your neighbor and say, it ain't over. Come on here. God is about to punctuate your future. He's about to bring some things to a close so that He can start. Oh God, who am I talking to here? So that He can bring some stuff, my God, into the manifestation realm of your life. But you can't start a new chapter unless you're willing to end an old chapter. And I came today with the prophetic assignment of ending the old chapter in your life, that you will never ever revisit again another day in your life, nor will it be a crutch for you, but a part of your testimony that continues. Slap your name and say, God ain't finished with me yet. Who am I preaching to in this room? The enemy has tried to batter and abuse you with your story, but my Bible says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. Oh my God, y'all don't sit down. Let me preach this thing. Sit down, you're making me nervous. Sit down. You have to understand that the enemy will try his very best to take what God has designed us as and manipulate it in a way to stop, my God, in its tracks, our potential. Potential is a very powerful piece. I'm going to go there in just a second, but let me finish my introductory remarks, which are these. First, I want to preach in the prophetic vein, and then secondly, I want to begin to address, if you will, the practical side in a matter that can only be addressed by the spiritual lane. In other words, I can only only get you to the place of problem solving if you're going to be willing to do the work this morning to understand the root of the problem, then begin to speak to it. Slap your name and say, you're going to have to open your mouth this morning, baby. You can't sit here, look at me, and give me the Baptist nod. You're going to have to open your mouth and understand that life and death is in the power of your, I feel generational curses breaking up in here, and I feel generational blessings at the same time being released. I told you, while God is ending something, he's also starting something. You have to learn how to do the work that is required on your part for God to take you to the next plateau, the next level, the next dimension, whatever you want to call it. And you have to understand that it is in the scripture of the prophetic book of Ezekiel that we understand this process. God raised up Ezekiel as a prophet during an extremely difficult time in Israel's history. I want to use the word Israel here in Bible interchangeably with the word church. And so I want you to understand that when I say Israel as a nation or as a people, I'm also speaking to the church. And so you have to understand that God chose Israel as his own chosen people because God always wanted to have a set of folk that were set aside for his glory. He always wanted, that was always his design and his plan, and he always wanted to have this unique partnership with those that would be in the earth realm. Slap your name and say, that's why you need ground control. Come on here. God, if I had to preach it in aeronautical terms, you would have to understand before a plane could take off, they cannot take off unless they have ground control. No plane, my God, can launch, no missile, no rocket can go anywhere unless somebody on the ground knows what's going on. And the engineers on the ground are able to give you all types of measurement of wind and atmosphere and atmospheric pressure to let you know if you are cleared for takeoff. You cannot take off to get to where you are, to where you're going, unless somebody's in the tower that has ground control that said there is nothing in your way or in your path that's going to stop you from getting to where you need to go. And if something arrives while you're in transition from where you were to where you're going, they can divert you, y'all ain't said nothing, to go a different pathway because a storm is over here and there's problem over here or there's heavy wind over here. And if you keep going in your direction, you're going to experience some turbulence. Have you ever been on an airplane and the captain comes on and says, all right, everybody, fasten your seatbelts because we're about to enter into some heavy air and you're going to experience some turbulence. And the only reason he tells you that is because he doesn't want you to get caught off guard to begin to think you're not going to make it to where he said you were going to make it. This is why the scripture puts it in these terms. Take no thought. I wish I had somebody. For what you shall eat, where you shall live, or how you shall be clothed. When Jesus put it in those terms, he was trying to include, to inform us and let us know that we shouldn't take the thought of individuals that would try to suggest we're not going to make it to where God said we're supposed to be, and or we're not going to become the thing that God called us to be. Slap your name and say, you can't take any thought, baby. Come on here. God, look at me again and say, stop partnering with lies. I wish I had somebody in here. You have to stop partnering your mind and allowing your mind to even entertain the thought of the opinions of somebody else. You have to stop allowing yourself to be open, my God, to the suggestions of somebody when they didn't tell you what God already told you. If he told you we were going to make it to the other side, then baby, guess what? You're going to make it to the other side. If he said you're the head and not the tail, then baby, guess what? You're the head and not the tail. If he said you were more than a conqueror, I wish I had a church in here. Then you're more than a conqueror. If he told you, no matter what you deal with, he can make all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, then guess what? He'll take everything that ever happened to you, and by the time he gets finished, folk will look at you and say, how in the world did you make it out of that situation? You'll turn around in response and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. Oh, God, touch your name and say, you're about to get ground control. You're about to get ground control. God. And so from the beginning of Ezekiel's ministry, God used him to speak, if you will, to a stubborn group. Sometimes we are so stubborn and don't even know it. Sometimes, my God, we are so set in our ways and don't even understand that set way is about to leave us to a destructive pathway. And so, my God, will we begin to understand, my God, the thing that fights us most, my God, is not failure, but the thing that fights us most is a pathway to a lesser goal. In other words, we get satisfied with a fraction. God takes us out of something, and we don't want to go through the full delivery process, and so we like the status quo because the status quo is comfortable. Yes, I ain't cussing no more. I ain't smoking no more. I ain't drinking no more. But is that the only reason why he saved me? I wish I had somebody here. Yes, I'm in church every Sunday, but is that the only reason why he shed his blood for me? I feel like preaching it here. Yeah, God, yes, I'm not who I used to be, but I'm not yet all I'm supposed to be. And whatever I've already done is no longer my potential. My God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting in here. Did God just save you just so that you wouldn't club no more? The devil is a liar. Look at your neighbor and say, there's greatness in you that you don't even know yet, baby. My God, you have to understand that you are full, my God, of potential. You have to realize what potential really is. The problem with the children of Israel is that they never really discovered their full potential. And this is expressly why when they saw other nations, they wanted to be like them. We want a king like they have a king. We want to operate how they operate. And God uniquely raised them up as his own people in a way, my God, that was so profound, it boggles the mind. How in the world can God take a slave nation and raise them up to be able to combat one of the greatest superpowers politically without one weapon, without one army? Y'all ain't said nothing. Just a man with a word and a staff that would stand in front of Pharaoh and say, let my people go. If you are crazy enough to believe God, and somebody in here, you could speak to problems and situation way bigger than yourself. Let me slow down, Philip, slow down. And so you have to understand that God raised up Ezekiel to specifically speak to Israel in their stubborn state of not realizing that they have allowed themselves to a pathway to a lesser goal rather than fulfilling all that God called them to fulfill. At this point, my God, I'm preaching, at this point, they had already experienced the promised land. My God, at this point, they were already in the place, I feel like preaching, that God called them to be. But now they're in exile. In other words, they were snatched out of their promise. Here we go. They were snatched out of what God promised them and placed in another nation, indoctrinated, my God, with other world doctrines, and they lost their identity. And God had to send the prophetic to them, my God, like Isaiah and like Jeremiah and like Daniel, my God, and like Obadiah and Habakkuk, to let them know that, my God, I am going to solve this problem, but I'm going to solve the problem because it is part of the promise I gave you. Even when you have been snatched out of your promise, God still has to fulfill that promise. You don't hear what I'm saying. They wasn't snatched out because of the enemy. They were snatched out because of their stubbornness. They wasn't snatched out. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing now. They wasn't snatched out because the devil did. The devil's not even in your class weight, baby. He's not even a real opponent. He's a sparring partner. The greatest enemy to your success and your destiny is always going to be your mindset. Let me get to where I need to go. And so the Bible says that they weren't snatched out of the promise because of any other reason but their stubbornness. And so God, if you will, raised up Ezekiel to be able to speak to this situation in a very particular way. In other words, Ezekiel was led out by vision, and God had to show him visually, if you will, how he was going to lead out his people. And God, my God, will always bring you to the place of this process of problem solving, but he doesn't leave you in the place of problem solving, if you will, if he does not get you to the place of restoration. In other words, my God, the prophetic preoccupation, if you will, if I can say it that way, is to always, my God, get you to the place of recovery and restoration. In other words, he had to show Ezekiel visually how he was going to recover and restore the children of Israel. And so in this process, he has to get Ezekiel to use the prophetic lifestyle of insight and intuition. And as he begins to use his insight, which can be defined as such, the power to act or see into a situation and penetrate it. And when you act, or the result of apprehending the inner nature of a thing, and to see, if you will, intuitively. Intuition, if you will, is quick and ready insight. And so first now God gives you the insight, the ability to see intuitively, and then when you see it, to be able to be quickly act and recognize, if you will, how to solve the problem. This is why I said I have to speak in two veins, because now as we begin to peel back the problem, you got to be ready. I wish I had somebody to act quickly to be able to solve the problem. Look at your neighbor and say, be ready to act quickly. Come on here. It was Albert Einstein who said it this way, and he was a premier theoretical physicist, if you will, and what he said was, if he understood intuition this way, he said the only real valuable thing is intuition. He said there is no logical way to discovery of these elemental laws. There's only the way of intuition, which is helped by a feeling for the order lying behind, God, if you will, the appearance. In other words, God, what we're trying to say to you is that oftentimes the church or Israel does not understand the reality of the problem. In other words, they try, if you will, their very best to arrive at their theory by reasoning alone. And they use no intuition or insight, if you will, as essential to the pursuit of truth. In other words, they are seeking the truth. They want it, but they don't use any intuition or instinct, if you will, to arrive at what they know to be true. In other words, in a practical sense, if you will, the church has developed this concept of something called systematic theology, which is absolutely wonderful. And this is the process whereby a theologian can begin to systematize the thoughts of God, to try, if you will, to put it in a logical perspective and organize the experience with Scripture into systems of thought that seem reasonable. But here is the problem. Who decides how God manifests his promises, and who decides if they are reasonable or unreasonable? I feel like preaching in here. Y'all ain't hear me. I lost you at Albert Einstein. It's all right. But who decides, my God, how God chooses to act on behalf of his people? Do we decide, or does God decide? Because if we decide and it seems unreasonable, then we might not see the manifestation of what God promised. But if we allow God to decide how he manifests what he said he was going to do in our life. Did I lose you? The problem is then this: if we just simply approach it in a reasonable fashion, then what if God decides to act outside of our boundaries? I feel like preaching in here. Ain't nobody helping me out. Do our orderly arrangement compel God to operate within the so-called logical limits? In other words, if God wants to do something exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, I feel like preaching in here, because he's able to do that. But then the scripture wraps around and says, but it's according to the power that works. And now slap your name and say, is it turned on? Is it turned? I feel like preaching it. Is your problem solver turned on? Is it? Oh, God, look at me again and say, if it ain't turned on, we about to flip the switch up in here. Y'all sitting on this thing, but I'm about to lay it down in here. I'm just in the introduction, but here we go. The reason why your problem solver isn't turned on, because it's too painful to deal with the problem. It's too painful to deal with the real issue. You want to bury it. You want to put it under the rug. And God forbid somebody knows your drama. God forbid somebody understands that you're human. The body of Christ needs to understand and learn how to discern between weakness and wickedness. Because everybody's got a weakness. And we're so busy judging people based upon their weaknesses that we find ourselves in the pathway of a lesser goal. It's not about your weakness, it's about the wickedness that continually is trying to hunt you down and make you perverse and continually make you look the opposite of what God said you're supposed to be. God can handle your weakness, boo. I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting up in here. Slap your name and say, God ain't scared of your problem, baby. If God was scared of your problem, the woman with the issue of blood would have never got next to Jesus. If God was scared of your problem, the woman with the alabaster box would have never been able to break it open. If God was really a God was afraid of who you really were, he would have never chose a cussing fisherman. I wish I had somebody to lead the church. If God was afraid of your background and your history, he would have never chose a murderer to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Slap your neighbor and say, God ain't afraid of you. I'm trying to preach. You're looking for me to say some colorful things to you and give you some canned version of the scripture that sounds great and sweet. Look at your name and say, he ain't got that, he ain't got that, he ain't got that. But I got a prophetic problem-solving word for you that's about to pull you out of the depths of your emotions that have been trying to lead you to a pathway of wickedness that ain't going to work. The devil is I wish I had a church in here. Slap your name and say, we about to get to the heart of the matter, baby. My God, we about to deal with who hurt you, who frustrated you, who tried to break you. And my God, by the time we get finished, you're never going to feel broken another day in your life. Don't you realize God broke you in all the right places to be able to put you back together again? Oh God, slap somebody and say, I'm broke in the right places, baby. I'm broke. Israel's problem is that they didn't understand, nor did they ever discover that they were broken in all the right places. Their heart intent, what they really wanted, my God, was to not be so different. What they really desired was, I don't want to be distinct. I want to be like everybody. Oh God, I'm touching some stuff right here. I want to have the parents that they had, and I want to have the education that they. Oh God, see, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. God really never designed our intelligence to be measured by education. He designed our intelligence to be measured by discernment. My God, our system then starts to look, my God, within the Creator to try to figure out how intelligent the Creator is. If you want to know who you really are, you can't look to the Creator. You got to look to the Creator. My God, I'm preaching way better than y'all. Shouting up in here. If you want to know what God, why God really made you, you can't go find somebody to tell you what you got. You got to go to the person that knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb and called you. And I wish I had a church to preach to. No psychologist, no preacher, y'all ain't hear what I'm saying, and no teacher and no person is going to be able to fully tell you who you are. Only God can do that. Let's deal with it. So if I want to deal with it, I got to get us back to our source. I got to get us back to our understanding of who we are. And as I begin to deal with it, I'm going to get out of here and cause you to understand. For you to get ground control, you have to understand that you are related to where you came from. And when I mean where you came from, I'm not just talking about your peeps. And see, that's where it ends. And that's where your biography, my God, begins to tell the story. And you don't understand that that's not where it started. You start your story with my mama and my daddy or my grandparents and this person, that, but that's not where your story started. Before you were formed in the womb, I'm like preaching, of your mom, before your mama and daddy ever had a gleam in their eye, before he took her out on a Saturday night, y'all ain't said nothing to me. Before your grandmama and your grandfather, my God, was listening to the Temptations, y'all ain't said nothing. And he said, that's my girl. I wish I had somebody in here. And your father got formed. You were on the mind of God, but way
way back when. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, before the foundations of the world began, God designed you and created you and spoke your life into existence, babe. Oh, I feel this thing down in my spirit. Can you just talk somebody real quick and say, you are not junk. I feel that anointing in here. Come on, just look at them. That's how I know where I'm supposed to be. Go on, touch them again and say, you are not junk. Come on. Oh, we about to deal with it. We about to deal with it. Come on, touch them again and say, you are not junk, baby. You are not junk. Folk will pass you by because others don't see what's on the inside of you. Folk will discard you because they really don't know your real value. Folk that look at you and say, well, they don't dress the way, no. And they'll judge you from the outside but don't know the content of how you were formed and you were created. Slap your name and say, I am not junk, baby. I'm just in process. And God is still doing a work in my life. I wish I had a folk in here that understood what I'm talking about. Come on, shout, I'm not junk. I'm not junk. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I feel an anointing in this room. I'm the apple of God's eye. He knows each number of hair follicles that are. You're not junk, baby. Oh, God, sit down. Let me. You're not junk. You're not junk. Here we go. I'm sorry. You're not junk. You're not junk. You see, you cannot argue with the artist until he's finished. Most of your pain is coming from, my God, the platform of not understanding God's not done. And so your problem, the root of it, is impatience. You don't want patience to have its perfect work because in the process of what God is creating, you don't like what you see. The reason you don't like what you see is because you're simply looking and you're not seeing. You haven't dived down into the realm of intuition. My God, I feel like preaching in here. You haven't, my God, peeled back from the surface to try to find out what's in the mind of the maker. All you're looking at is the gobble up mess of the sculpture, not realizing, if you will, what they are creating. This is why you can't bother an artist until they're finished. And this is why most artists are rude. I wish I had somebody in here, because you don't know within their creative mind. And as you're trying, my God, watch me now, to critique what they are creating, they're not finished. And so your critique is going to be based on something that's not completed yet. What have you tried to critique that God is still working on, and you didn't have the understanding, who am I preaching to in here, what he was actually doing? Slap your name and say, get some discernment, baby. This is why you got to allow the situations in life to really humble you, and you don't even care what God is doing as long as he keeps you in the process. Some folk have been broken to the point where they simply say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust. Oh, I feel this thing up in here. I feel this thing up in here. You're not junk. Sculptors see differently. Artists see differently. They would say Michelangelo would walk around a block of marble for days, just walking around it, talking to it himself. Don't that sound crazy? That sounds so unreasonable that you would be sitting there looking at something, my God, and talking to it and looking at it. And the reason why, when they asked them, Michelangelo, why in the world have you lost your mind? Are you walking around talking, my God, to a rock? Because he said, I would first, my God, would see the thing in the rock, and then I would go take out what I see. Can I tell you, God has been walking around your life, looking at you and speaking stuff into your life, and the reason it's taking so long is because what he's calling out is about to be a priceless thing of beauty. Slap your name and say, some stuff is about to come out of you you never even knew you had on the inside of you. Who am I preaching to in here? For the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is. Come on, touch them again and say, you ain't junk, baby. You ain't junk. Insight, my God, that the sculptor But like the sculptor is seen in Scripture, when the world dumps and rejects you, my God, and you land on the garbage heap of the world, God walks right alongside of you and picks you up, pulls you out of the muck and miry clay, sets your feet, my God, watch me now, upon a rock. I wish I had somebody, and begins to speak to the rock that he set you upon of, because Christ in you is the hope of God. Hope of glory. When God looks at you, he sees things that everybody else ignores. Oh, God, all throughout the Bible, God looked and he saw. Oh, God. God looked and saw that it was good. God looked and saw. He don't just look, he looks and sees. I'm preaching way better than y'all show. God looked at Adam and saw a world. God looked at Abraham and saw a nation. God looked at Jacob, my God, who was just a deceiver, if you will, in his natural state. But he saw the continuance of generational blessings, my God. He saw, my God, in Moses, the murderer, my God, a deliverer of somebody he could use to take his people from where they are to where they said that he could be. He saw a little shepherd boy that everybody disregarded, even his own daddy. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God is about to heal your father wound of the dad that did not speak into your life, that keeps you. I'm preaching some stuff to you right now. He's about to heal that inner daddy wound that keeps you back from being who God called you to be. I don't know who I'm talking to up in here, but he's about to heal that thing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Most of your problems is that you didn't have somebody speaking over your life, your purpose, and your potential your whole life. Come on, so I came to assassinate the devil of your past history. Don't sit here and look cute right now. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to be made whole today. God is healing every father wound. You didn't have the affirmation. You didn't have the comfort. You didn't have the assurance that it was going to be all right. God, who am I talking to in here? You had folk that kept lying to you and telling you you wasn't going to be nothing. You wasn't going to do nothing. But the devil is a liar. I come against every toxic and negative word ever spoken over your life. And I capture that thing. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout right now. God, I feel this thing breaking up in here. Sit down, let me finish my preach. When God saw all of these wonderful people, he saw something greater than anybody else could see. What you have to understand is that you didn't just come out of your parents, but you came out of God. Slap your name and say, I came out of God. Man, I feel like preaching this thing in here. When God created the heavens and the earth, he first decided what he wanted to make. Ah, God, and whenever he wanted to make something, he made it out of the thing that he spoke to. In other words, when he wanted plants to come forth, he called the earth, my God, to bring forth the plants of the ground. Whenever he wanted, my God, the animals to come forth, he spoke to the earth and said, bring forth, my God, all of the creeping things of the planet. When he wanted, my God, things that could swim, he spoke to the water, I feel like preaching it here, and said, I bring forth from the water. But when he wanted something, my God, that will be made in his image and after his likeness, he didn't speak, my God, to the elements. He had to speak to himself. Slap your name and say, you came out of God. He turned around and said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. I feel like preaching. And let them have dominion over all the earth. Slap your name and say, you came out of God. Come on here. When you come out of God, you have to understand that all things are composed of whatever they came from and hence contain the potential of that source. And so when a plant decides, if you will, it doesn't no longer wants to be a plant. It uproots roots itself away from its source. When a fish decides it no longer wants to be a fish, it uproots itself and takes itself out of the water. Just like you and I, when we decide we don't want to be what God has called us to be, we uproot ourselves away from our Creator. But to be all that God has called us to be, we got to reconnect to the thing that created us. Slap your name and say, there's about to be a reconnection. And when you reconnect, because there's some decay in your life from leaving your source, He's got to regenerate you. Slap your neighbor and say, God is about to regenerate your life. Here is where we find ourselves in the text. Are you all right? Here is where we find ourselves in the text. The Bible says in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, that God brought forth Ezekiel in the way that he could understand by vision, to be able to see this thing. And he took him away to a valley. This wasn't just any old kind of valley. The Bible describes it as being a valley full of dry bones. You have to understand that in the valley of dry bones, it seems as though there is no coming back. It seems that this valley is, my God, is not the valley of the shadow of death, but death itself. In other words, we are accustomed to God resurrecting some situations, but we are not accustomed to God stepping outside of the boundaries and resurrecting it this way. In other words, the imagery, if you will, was painted upon the imagination, not only of Ezekiel as he wrote it, but also the imagination of the reader to be able to understand that this situation is completely and totally dreadful. In other words, there is so much turmoil that was caused by Israel's stubbornness that not only were they, by God, distracted and derailed from their destiny, but their decision caused them to utterly die. Not just die to the place where God could step in before decomposition, my God, and be able to resurrect the thing, but to let the thing die for a long time. This was not like, if you will, my God, the people that Elijah raised from the dead. This was not like the individuals that Jesus, our Savior, raised from the dead. When Jesus raised people from the dead, they still had skin, my God. They still had blood, my God. They still, my God, had the ability, if you will, to take life inside of them because all of the sinew was attached to what it needed to be attached. But the problem here is that this is a valley full of dry bones. That means ain't nothing on it. No skin, no flesh, no sinew, nothing. This situation looks like it ain't ever going to get better. It's done. It's devastating. But the prophet of God is taken to the valley, and he's asked the question of the Lord. And the question is twofold. He comes along and he says to the prophet, he says, I want to ask you this question. I led you this place by the Spirit, and I led you here to see the valley full of bones. And the Bible says he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Look at your neighbor and say, can these bones live? I need you to understand, intimated in the text, it's this one thought. It's not just, my God, it's not, if you will, some sort of philosophical discussion that God is having with the prophet. He's having a unique, my God, discussion with him based upon a specific detail. He didn't say, can bones live again? He said, can these bones live again? In other words, these bones who have experienced, if you will, such dryness because it uprooted itself from the source that is completely decomposed and decayed. In other words, there is no coming back for this. And if you would sit and look at the situation with reason, you will come to the conclusion that things are never going to get better. In enters God into that type of situation and begins to declare, to ask a question, can these bones live? There are some things in your life that look like they ain't ever going to come together. It looks like it ain't ever going to happen. But you have to ask yourself, can these things live? Look at your neighbor and say, can these things live? I'm talking about your dreams. I'm talking talking about your purpose. I'm talking about the visions that God has given you. I'm talking about the healing that needs to take place in order for you to go to the next dimension. Slap your neighbor and say, can these bones live? God, I'm talking about the deep, deep things that are seated down in your heart that you don't want to tell nobody, and you want to put your church face on like you got on right now, and you're just waiting for me to get to the preaching part where you can throw your hands up and say, hallelujah, the devil is a liar. I want to speak to that inner wound that hit you when you was just a small child that carries you, my God, day by day, and it's like landmines in your life, and you don't know which day you're going to step on that thing, and it's going to take you out. I came to uproot that landmine to let the devil know your days are bright and your future is. Slap somebody a high five and say, can it live, baby? Are we getting there? You're trying to sit on it, but it's all right. He said, can these bones live? The prophet looked back to him. Watch me now. The prophet looked back to him and he said, I don't know. He said, so I answer, oh God, only you know if these bones can live. And God didn't waste any time, my God, looking at the prophet to try to get his approval about if he thought, y'all don't hear what I'm saying, the bones can live. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't up to you. My God, it's up to God. I feel like preaching it here. Yes, power of life and death is in your tongue, but it's based upon the word that you speak. That's why it ain't up to you. It's up to God. Even when you don't believe it, somehow, if you can grab hold of the word of God and just have enough guts to begin to speak it when you don't even believe that, you don't hear what I'm saying, when you don't even believe that it's possible. Yeah, I'm a preacher over here. Do you hear what I just said? Slap your neighbor and say, it ain't on you, baby. It's on the word. Oh, slow down, slow down. I can get preachery, which I'm about to do, because I love to preach. It ain't deep. It ain't spiritual. I just love the sound of preaching. And the Lord said, I just like that. So don't get lost in my delivery. Listen to what I just said. It is not based upon your power to even believe. And the church thinks things won't move unless we believe. You gotta have faith. Okay, watch me now. I'm not saying that without faith it's not, you know, possible to please the Lord. Yes, you have to have faith to please the Lord. First, you have to believe that he is. All right, here we go. But we face situations in real talk, in real time, that looks like they ain't ever going to change. And there are moments in our lives, if we really want to be honest with ourselves and solve the problem, that we face these situations that look completely and totally dead. And so we try to systematically reason with ourselves, partnering with lies to tell ourselves that God made it happen this way so I can learn this lesson. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. God did this so I could do. No. Not necessarily. Here's a situation where the man of God is asked the question, can these bones live? And his response is, I don't know. God, only you know. The reason he's responding like that, I feel like preaching in here. Thank you, God, for slowing me down. The reason he responded like that is because he ain't have a clue. I'm trying to tell you, you could be in a situation where you don't even have a clue. And God will come alongside of you and say, I don't need you to have a clue. What I need you to do is start prophesying to the situation. Because it's not based on you having a clue. It's based on my word. You might not have a clue.
You might not feel like it's going to get better. But baby, if you can have the gumption to stand up and begin to speak to your situation right now. You still looking at me. Slap your name and say, I'm about to start talking to myself and my situation. So don't look at me like I'm crazy. I got some problems that need to be spoken to up in.
Here we go. Here we go. Watch this. We about to get there. I done lost my organs. Here we go. Here we go. Watch this. We're going to get there. So now he asks him a question. Can these bones? He says, I don't know. He says, prophesy to these bones and say to these bones, oh, dry bones, hear, I feel like Lord, hear the word of the Lord. He didn't say that I needed to hear it. He said, I want you to tell the bones, you're going to stand there and you're going to listen to the word of the Lord. And the reason he told him that is because he was composed of the same material, my God, that the bones came out of. You don't hear what I'm saying. You get the ability to speak to your problem. It's because you are composed of the same material of the thing that's causing you the problem. That means you got authority over the thing that is trying to stop you. In the world, I'm done. I'm almost there. In the world of politics, here's what I learned. In the world of politics, what they want you to do is not say nothing. The goal of the political world is to make things seem like you will never get anything accomplished, even when you try. And they are banking on the fact that you're going to go back to your everyday life. Yeah, you're going to protest, you're going to make some noise, and they're laughing at you while you're doing it. Because they know at the end of the day, you can't keep that up. And so the reason why they don't want nothing to change is because you have to remember that somebody is benefiting from status quo all the time. And so, my God, they'll smile, they'll do the press conference. I wish I had somebody. They'll interview, they'll talk about the issues, but they'll never talk about the change. I wish I had somebody in here. And they'll sit there and go, and then they'll go argue tit for tat, and but they'll never really come to an issue or come to a solution. Why? Because they want to stay where they are. Your problems are the same way. They'll keep you talking about them rather than talking about the thing God promised you, and you'll spend more time talking about the problem and not talking about the promise, and therefore you'll be preoccupied with where you are instead of where you're going. Slap your name and say, today is the last day for that mess. I feel like preaching up in here. Not only I'm going to speak to this problem, but when I get finished with that, I'm about to start talking to the promises that God gave. We almost there. I know. How much time? Okay. Don't y'all take my time and not shout amen when I'm up here. Watch this. So he says to him, can these bones live? Watch this. Can these bones live? He says, prophesy to the bones and tell these bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, surely, listen now, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew in you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know I am the Lord. This is the word that you have to begin to speak to your problem. You need to look at whatever is plaguing you, whatever is ailing you, and begin to speak specifically that God is about to cause this thing to live in my life. It's not a problem he can solve, and he's going to solve it by causing it to do the reverse of what it was meant to do. Slap your name and say, the devil meant it for evil. My God, I feel like preaching, but God is about to turn that thing around for my good. I wish I had 20 folk in here that understood what I'm talking about. You tried to break me in my childhood, but God's about to turn that thing around for my good. Your words were used to try to defeat me mentally, but God's about to turn that thing around. I feel an anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody get a prophetic unction and say, it's turning for me, baby. It's turning for my family. It's turning for my children. I feel an anointing in here.
Ah, God, watch this, watch this. Stay on your feet, stay on your feet, stay on your feet. Watch this, watch this, watch this. So he prophesies. Listen to me. He prophesies. He speaks to him. Don't mess with me, Mike. He speaks to him. Hallelujah. And when he speaks to him, he says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And then suddenly, oh God, suddenly, it's been a long time since the valley of dry bones existed. Nothing is an instant. Nothing happens overnight. I don't want to try to fool you. What I'm trying to tell you is that what God is about to do, he's been working on for a very long time. And when God is working on something for a long time, a miracle is just a process that's been sped up. I wish I had somebody in here. You have to understand, my God, God put this in work a very long time ago. And he was waiting for you to stand up with some audacity, my God, and boldness, and begin to speak to the things that's trying to stop you. And the Bible says, and suddenly, somebody shout suddenly, there was a noise and a rattling. And the Bible says the bones came together, bone to bone indeed. And I looked, and the sinew and the flesh came upon, and the skin covered them up. But the Bible says there was no breath in them. Sometimes you'll speak to a situation and that thing will resurrect and get up, but it's not living. It's not doing what God has called it to do. Sometimes you have enough faith and gumption. Who am I talking to in here? And moxie to stand up and say, all right, I'll speak to it, but then nothing else happened. Watch this, watch this, watch this. He speaks to the bones. The bones starts wrapping itself up in flesh, sinew and blood, and stands on his feet, but it's not alive yet. Oh, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I hope I'm not messing this thing up. Listen. Service after service after service, God gets you here. Look, I came to deal with some real stuff. So if this ain't for you, God bless you. Go enjoy the rest of your day. But if this is for you, stick around for a second. Stick around for this reason alone. Sometimes we get to this place, and I can feel it. I see you. You waiting for me to hoop it out. I ain't doing no hooping. You waiting for me to get to the church part. See? So you can go ahead. Mm-mm. I came to assassinate the devil of your past to get you ground control. So that when situations look dead in your life, you can walk right into that atmosphere and say, I call you forth in the name of. The bones stand up. Prophets, what was interesting about this text is that he doesn't want to speak to the situation. Because the greatest enemy always to your faith is not fear, it's certainty. You want to be certain that what you just did gonna work. If I sow this, if I do this, if I pray this way, if I praise this way, is it gonna work? You can't measure God in outcomes. God, I feel like preaching to him. And we have to stop trying to measure God. If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, you can't measure that. You don't know what he's going to do. All you need to know is that he's able to do. Somebody shout, he's able. All right, y'all don't get me to preaching. Don't get me to preaching. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. The bones come together miraculously, but the process is not over. And you stop there because your problem seemingly came together. And so he says to him, we ain't done. Look at your name and say, we ain't finished. Oh, God, I feel it. I don't want the thing to resurrect unless I can feel it with the spirit of the living God. I don't want something that's dead to get back up with an unknown spirit. That's a zombie. I feel like preaching in here. When you come back up, I needed to have the power of the Spirit of the living God. Somebody shout, not only is it coming up, come on here. It's coming up full of the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel this thing breaking up in here. Slap your name and say, your dead issues, come on here, is about to resurrect full of the power of the Spirit of the living God. And it will no longer be the pain of your past, but the testimony attached to your future. My God, I feel it. So, here we go. Watch this. Here we go. You got in this? I told you, you got a part to play. I did all that to get you here. I said a lot. I left a lot out. He says to him, all right, the bones are standing, but they are not alive. Oh, my God. So he says to him, prophesy to the wind. Ruach in the Hebrew, the same word that when God the breath of life into Adam and man became a living soul, the same Greek word pneuma. My God, that on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. Y'all ain't in here with me. Somebody say, prophesy to the wind, baby. God is about to fill your dead issues with the life of the Spirit of the living God. He says, prophesy to the wind. Oh God, I wish I had a church in here today. Prophesy to the wind and say, breath, thus saith the Lord, come from the four corners. That's how I know I ain't got my church in here this morning. What's wrong with you, KLC? Come from the four corners of the earth. Slap your neighbor and say, God is about to solve your problem. Come on here. In four different ways, baby. I don't hear nobody in here. God's about to cause your issue to be changed. And I wish I had somebody to understand what I'm talking about. Slap your name and say, you think it's going to happen this way, but God's going to come around and do it that way. And you think it's going to happen that way, and God's going to turn around and... God, I wish I had a church in here that knew how to praise the Lord. Slap your name and say, you don't know which way it's coming, baby, but it's coming. I have not seen, ear has not heard. Grab somebody by the hand real quick. Come on, all over the room. All over the room. Come on, y'all ain't gonna preach me today. Come on. You got an assignment this morning. Oh, God, I thank you. 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 Come on, the Spirit of the living God is about to hit this room. God, I thank you. Prophetically, listen to me, please. Y'all know I love y'all. Y'all, my pastor, I love you. I ain't here to entertain nobody. I'm here to prophetically declare. I'm here to problem solve. And the only way I can problem solve is to get you to the place of restoration and recovery. It's not done till you're whole, baby. And unfortunately, most people aren't willing to do the work to be made whole. I have nobody to put me in the pool. Roll. Roll. I'm sorry for my righteous indignation, but roll, Negro, roll.
Your problem will be solved when you decide. When you choose to get ground control. When you stop letting stuff fly in and out of your life. Causing you to crash into the valley and look at all of the bones that are your promises, your gifts, your talents, your purpose, your dreams scattered across the valley. When if you were manning the controls and heaven was saying to you, I'm sending you, wouldn't let the enemy crash it. And I can see your dreams and your purpose and your vision scattered. Yeah, you'll come to church, you'll jump, you'll shout, you'll run, you'll dance. But when you go home, you cry. When you get home and you leave here, you cry and you sit alone and you cry. And you say, God, please, if you could just please help me, if you could just please. And the church never talks about this stuff. We don't talk about the mental disorders that you face and the oppression that you face. And we start trying to call stuff out and blah, blah, blah. And that's wonderful, but we never get to wholeness. And we fairly understand that the beauty of it all is the brokenness of it all. So we hide the brokenness and we do church well. We do this well. And we go home broken, hurting. And so the word no longer has power, it's just a sedative. It's a spiritual opioid to get you high for a moment and then drop you off. And so you run from conference to conference, place to place to get your next fix. Because you're not willing to be made whole. But today, when you choose to open your mouth to prophesy to the wind and say, God, fill my life right now. Regenerate my spirit, my soul, and my mind. God, I feel an anointing in here. If you truly want to do that work, it's here for you right now. I ain't trying to hype you. I don't need your validation of if I can preach or not. I've made full proof of my ministry. I'm telling you, my assignment is to assassinate, you better hear me, the devil of your past. Because that's the enemy that will keep you from turning the chapter and getting ground control. When you have ground control, you know what's coming your way. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. And that's the problem with the body. You want certainty, not faith. Faith is the ability to see what's coming your way, even when it looks like it ain't coming. That's why you see some folk dancing and shouting and praising God. Not because they're emotional, they see what's coming their way. Like David saw the Ark of the Covenant coming up, he lost his mind. And when you can't see what's coming your way, that's dangerous. So it's twofold. You lack the ability to receive what God's about to give you. And then you're shocked when the enemy throws something at you. I'm not shocked when the enemy fights me. I look for him to fight me. It is an indicator that I'm going in the right direction. As a matter of fact, if it's not fighting me, then I stop. Because it means it's me, not God. The enemy doesn't fight anything that doesn't have potential. I wish, boy, I'm going to go sit down somewhere. I done said so much stuff to y'all.
He won't fight nothing that doesn't have potential. But when you're full, you don't understand. Omnipotent, God being omnipotent, means he's always potent. Not omnipresent. Omnipresence means he's everywhere present. He's everywhere, but not in everything. Omnipotent means he's always full of potential. And if he's the source from which we came, that means we are comprised of the same elements of the source. So if he is full of potential, omnipotent, then therefore we must be omnipotent. And you don't see yourself as omni anything. One dimensional. You're one dimensional. When God is, he's so many dimensions to him. And dimension, by definition, is degrees of freedom. It's a mathematical term. And God wants to give you so many different degrees of freedom. He doesn't want you confound. God, I'm feeling on to the space of your pain, or confound to your past, or confound to your struggle, or confound. He wants you to have the ability to break out, lift off at any time from any situation. Oh, God, I feel it. I feel Lord. That hand that you're holding is a hand full of history. That history is their biography. Their biography is attached to their biology. We wear our pain. You don't hear what I'm saying? We wear it, we're clothed in it every day. But when God shows up and regenerates our spirit, we can take off the spirit of heaviness and we can put on the garments of praise. We can exchange beauty for ashes. Mourning for the oil of joy. That hand you're holding is a piece of history. And the enemy would love for them to leave here with the same story. He would love for them to leave here without control. You don't hear what I'm saying. Of the ground. Ground control means I tell the devil, not the devil tells me what my life is going to look like. Lately, I've been sharing my testimony, and I don't know why, but I've been sharing it all over the place, all over the country, of where I came from, stuff I did. But I haven't told those stories in 15 years or so. It's a shame that I'm old enough to be able to say that, but I am. But lately, I've just been sharing, like, yeah, that did happen. Oh, yeah, I was ignorant. I was as ignorant as they come. Belligerent. Rude, nasty, mean. Yeah, me. Okay, I'm talking about you. That's who I was. And every now and then, the enemy tries to use that against me. But I got ground control. And so I was in Dallas, and I was up preaching, and I was... wonderful conference with thousands of people. It's great. And I said, share your story. I'm like, I don't nobody want to hear that. Because you wanna escape where you came from. You don't want nobody to really know that about you for real. You want them to see this version. I can't get help. But there is a version that nobody knows. Only God knows. And it's what the enemy used against us to
to keep us from getting ground control. But today, you're about to assassinate that thing. Now, hear me by the Spirit of the Lord. I know you've been holding that hand for a while, and it's been on purpose. Hear me by the Spirit of the Lord. When you open your mouth, when you open your mouth, and you begin to speak to the four winds, and all you're going to ask is for God to fill up every part of your life, past, present, and future. And as you ask God to do that, he's going to end a chapter, and then he's going to begin a chapter. He's going to cause the bones to stand up, God, and he's going to breathe the breath of life on the inside. And when I loose you to do it, I want you to hold that hand, and I want you to do it, and I want you to do it for about 10, 20 seconds or so. And then when I tell you to release that hand, you give God the best shout of praise you got, and watch God do a work in your life. On the count of three, begin to ask God to fill you up. One, two, three. Do it right now. Open your mouth. Fill up the parts of our lives, God. Past, present, and future. Come on, you talk to the Lord for yourself. You know what he needs to fill. You know what he needs to deal with. Don't sit there looking at me or looking at somebody. Open your mouth and talk to the situation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Come on, church. Come on, 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds, you do it. Your future depends on it. Your purpose depends on it. Your dream depends on it. Come on, church. Come on, church. Few more seconds. Few more seconds. Few more seconds. On the count of three, release that hand and you go to giving God praise. One, two, three. Do it right now. Come on, somebody. Shout unto God. Oh, I hear warriors cry. I hear the cry of victory. Oh, come on, 20 more seconds. Give him praise all over the room. And at the power of the living God. Oh, God, I feel it in here. Come on, church, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there. There it is. Break, 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 break. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Yes, somebody's getting free. Somebody's getting healed. Somebody's getting whole. Hallelujah. 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 Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got it, baby. I got it. I got it. Hug somebody. Do me that favor. Just hug somebody's neck and say, I got it and you got it, baby. I got ground control. I got no devil in hell that's going to be able to stop me now. Who am I talking to? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, hug somebody's neck. Say, I got it and you got it. I got it and you got it. I got it and you got it. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. I got it and you got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you're blessed today. Come on, lift those hands and receive the blessing of the Lord. We got so much to do after service. I won't belabor the point. I pray this word blessed your life. I really do. I really do. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with his shield.